This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Hello and welcome to Tracks from the Edge, Trek FM show where we provide audio commentary for every episode of Star Trek, Discovery, and whatnot. I'm Mike.
And I'm Max.
And today we're going to be taking a look at Star Trek Discovery Season 2, Episode 13, Such Sweet Sorrow, Part 1.
Mm-hmm. We are doing it.
Or Part 1 of Such Sweet Sorrow. Part
oh my
one,
God.
Part like one. There's got to like be a pun sweet. In there, right? Part 1 of Such Sweet Sorrow. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Oh, Part 1 and Part 2... They're advertising it as, you know, the two-part season finale. Same creative team. I think I'm right. At some point, who knows when it happened, but either in the writing or in, you know, the editing or something, they were like, this finale is too long. We're making it 2 hours. I think that's what happened. I really do. This was intended to be one episode, and it got so long that they broke it up into two. That's my guess. I'm not basing that on anything other than everything. But I swear to God, that's what they did.
Yeah, it checks out.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
It doesn't matter at all, but I mean, I agree. It's probably right.
Yeah. Yeah, so you'll never guess where I was today.
I'm not even gonna try, and it's not that I couldn't guess; it's that I don't want to at all.
I was at Star Wars Celebration.
I actually knew that.
Yeah, I know. I got to see J.J. Abrams, and you know, it was all cool. He was like right there. I could.
All right, buddy. This is a Star Trek podcast. J.J. Abrams has nothing to do with Star Trek.
Oh,
let's hit
you know
play
what?
On this episode.
You know what? Just you know, I'm just saying. And
no,
you know
that
who?
That was perfect. That was.
Yeah.
That was.
And everyone's
that was
like,
a,
oh,
that was like a baseball reference.
Yes.
That would be an appropriate thing.
Yeah,
like it
yeah,
was right
yeah.
down the center of the and, basketball hoop.
I gotcha. And everyone's like, oh, finally a negative opinion from Max that I agree with. And you know what? What were we talking about? Oh yes. But you know who else was there?
Yes. I do.
Bruce from Live from the Edge.
I didn't know that.
Well, he was one section over, and I'm like, hey, Bruce. And, you know, we were like talking, and then he's like, you know, because like I was tired, like we were going to record this last night, and I texted you, and I'm like, I am exhausted. If we record this tonight, it is going to be just crap. And you're
and I
like,
said,
okay.
Fine, even yeah. though I'm literally always exhausted.
Yeah. Well, you know, so we pushed it back to today, but even then I was like, hey, this was originally like a 2 hour thing. Why don't we just do it to, you know? And then I talked to Bruce, and Bruce is like, who's in town from out of town, right? Who's on vacation. He's like, oh, tonight's really busy. I don't know what's going on, but whatever. We're going out to dinner. And then I got to record Live from the Edge. And then I've got to edit Live from the Edge. And I have to be done before 11 o'clock because I have tickets to a show. And it's like, if
so
Bruce
essentially shamed you into doing this.
He didn't do it intentionally, because the thing about Bruce is he's an amazing guy, you know? Mm-hmm. If you ever have a chance to hang out with Bruce, hang out with Bruce. He's hilarious. Anyway, regardless of any of this, after hearing that, I was like, you know what? I'm just being lazy. We should record Tracks from the Edge tonight.
Yeah.
So here we are.
We are here.
We could be watching the Star Wars trailer just a billion more times. God. But how many times have you watched it so far?
Zero times.
Okay, cool.
And I look forward to doing that on a loop.
All right. Well, should we get this thing rolling?
Yeah, let's get this thing rolling.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing. All Last week we were talking about people who may or may not be working on the Patrick Stewart show. And to be fair, even though we were like, you know, oh man, who would fake credits on IMDb? Like the casting directors for the Picard show, there's two of them. And they are Dwight Eisenhower and Richard M. Nixon. So, you know, maybe IMDb not the most reliable source. However, Justin from Earl Grey pointed out that the costume designer is Christine Beeslin Clark. And she has worked on a bunch of stuff. Most notably, she was not the lead costume designer, but one of the costume designers on Tron Legacy.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm down with that. All right.
I'm hoping for a lot of uniforms with lights.
Yep. So, should we start this up?
That sounds like a joke, but honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, that sounds rad.
It would be pretty cool. Yeah. All right. You ready for this?
I was born ready to hit play on this episode.
Okay. So, we are going past the logo, which, oh, by the way, I didn't realize this, but over on Netflix, like they
Dude,
don't
I was
have...
born for this. I've waited a long time. Can we just hit play?
All right, let's do this. We're 8 seconds in. We're in the black right before the actual episode proper starts. Yeah. And we will start this up in 3, 2, 1, start. And there's the little thing from that short trek.
Yep.
Runaway. There's Poe. Which, you know, I you know, saw some stuff online where it's like, oh, she's going to be in this episode. And I'm like, I got to rewatch Runaway. And then, like, my wife and I sat down to watch this episode. And then that comes up, that first shot of her, you know, like, predator hand. And I'm like, oh, I forgot to do that. Let's stop and watch that first. And I'm glad that we did.
Oh, you did? You stopped and watched?
Yeah. The Runaway. Okay. Yeah. It's still good. It's still the best one, so.
That's cool. All right.
So, got some time crystals. Got some Section 31 robot people.
Yep.
And,
got straight up T-1000s going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we've got, some people deciding that they need to blow up a ship because Section 31 is coming.
Yeah, and there's all this like drama of like, we're going to blow up the ship. And like, hey, guys, we've seen the actual future.
And it's
we
still
know
there.
The ship don't blow up.
Yeah, but how do we know that the ship? I mean, I guess there's a number of things. So would this be Vulcan? I don't know if they actually say it. I'm always surprised when I see shots like this on Vulcan because it's like, I didn't really think that they had any water. You know, like prior to this show, all you see is a bunch of like desert. And like then in an earlier episode, you see some like plants.
Well, I mean, they have to have plant life. It's an ecosystem. There's this moment here where he wakes up and he's like, Michael. Yeah. And in my head, it was just like, row your boat ashore? Like, what is going on? Why are we in this weird place and why is he just saying her? It's like, come on. You don't need to have him, like, praying on a beach to explain, like, oh, he knows something bad is going down with her. They already set that up in the first season.
I don't know. You know, maybe they just wanted something that was visually striking, right?
Yeah, something weird.
Mm-hmm. But it looked cool, though, right?
I don't know.
Seemed kind of
epic. It looked like he was sitting on a beach, and his wife was bringing over some dry ice in a bowl. Like, here's your dry ice in a bowl.
I just rewatched Bad Boys the other day, and you know that movie is amazing. But they, you know, obviously it's a Michael Bay movie, so there's all sorts of like atmosphere, you know, in every shot, you know, like smoke
when they go over to Mike Lowry's house and it's like filled with smoke,
right? And then in that scene where they go over to Mike Lowry's house and it's filled with smoke, Martin Lawrence is like, "Oh man, I must have left some incense burning in here." It's awesome. Anyway, talking about Star Trek?
Wait, Martin Lawrence said that?
Yes.
Oh, because he's staying.
He's going he's to the house. Yes.
In that
yes,
apartment. Okay, right, I forgot right, the yeah, plot of yeah. Bad Boys.
You should
I'm
watch.
Sorry,
it's awesome.
It momentarily awesome. Slipped my mind.
Check it out. It's a good movie. Okay, there's the Enterprise.
What? The ship from the original show is in this show now? This is ridiculous. What is going on?
I don't know. And then they got these little walkways, which I think is a cool idea. I'm down with this.
Sure. Yeah, it's great.
I mean, you could say like how is it that they're spaced exactly, you know, the same distance on both ships? But I'm thinking like it's just standard for whenever they have to do something like this. And like maybe some smaller ships don't use like all five, you know, walkways or whatever, but you know, you can use as many or as few as you'd like. So
and you got to imagine that those things are a little bit flexible, so they got a little bit of give.
Yeah, you
know? they're not quite like the plastic tubes from ET, but they're, you know, a little bit closer to that than like a bridge between two buildings.
I think it works.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't care. It just seems like a weird technology. Like, oh, we'll have hallways. We have transporters and shuttlecraft, but like in order to go from one ship to another, we'll just walk down a hallway that we made. It's weird.
I think it's kind of cool. I mean, like whenever you have like a skywalk, like in one of those, like between two buildings or whatever, I mean, that's always a cool thing. I always like using those.
I don't have a problem with the concept of their existence. I just find it strange that this would be the choice in their environment.
So, Michael is looking at this time crystal and wondering if maybe she should see what her future is, I guess.
So, here's the thing. I'm not quite sure why this is a thing. When did they establish that, like, touching a time crystal shows you a vision of the future? Like,
I think that was in the last episode, right?
We saw that happen when Pike got the crystal.
Uh-huh.
But they did not say that, like, when you hold a time crystal, you see the future, or, like, time crystals show you the future. Like, I got the impression that that wasn't, like, an effect of the place that they were in, plus the effect of the crystal.
I don't know.
It seems tricky to me.
You don't know how much fun I had last week telling everyone that time crystals were real.
What do you mean?
because everyone, because like we recorded the thing and you're like, time crystals are real. And I'm like, yeah, if you say so. And then, you know, we looked it up on Wikipedia and everything like that. So then like the next morning, I'm like, in all the usual places with, you know, people talking about the episode, and they're like, time crystals, what a dumb name.
It is a dumb name. I mean, like, I don't disagree with them. And it is a dumb name.
Yeah.
Like if when you look at what they actually are, you're like, oh, I mean, calling them a time crystal is fine. That's fine. But like using them in this context as like magical artifacts.
Well, you know, but
I mean, they're not Horcruxes. You know, they don't have special properties.
Yes.
That allow you to do things outside of time. They're more like crystals through time. They're not crystals of time, because you can't crystallize time, guys.
But just the idea that every time someone said that, I was able to say like, but you know what? That they're real. It's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And then they'd be like, what? And then anyway. So here we are in the Enterprise. I loved how like busy it was because the Enterprise was always busy. They could really afford extras back in the 60s, you know? But now here, oh boy, here's the bridge. And let me say something about this bridge.
Let's hear some things about this bridge.
This, to me, is exactly how you're supposed to update a bridge that was designed originally in the 60s in this same continuity. This is how you do it. This is exactly how you do it. Am I right?
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry, but this is it. This is what you do. This is the thing. And I mean, like, we were just talking about how awesome J.J. Abrams and his movies are.
You were saying that. I want to make that clear. I want on the record that I never said anything
similar
to that.
I firmly believe that Star Trek 09 is the best Star Trek anything ever.
You can firmly believe a lot of wrong things.
And, you know, I enjoy how that movie looks and I enjoy how the bridge looks. But if I were designing an Enterprise bridge today and it was supposed to take place in the same continuity and all that stuff, this is exactly how it would look. Although maybe the view screen would be in whatever it was, 1:66:1 or whatever, just for the sake of aspect ratios.
Aspect ratio continuity?
Yeah, you know. But yeah, this is perfect to me. So.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care very hard. This particular thing, like I spend a lot of effort trying to justify a lot of the technological stylistic inconsistencies, and I try to justify like different actors playing the same roles in my head, and it's exhausting.
So you draw the line at set decoration?
No, actually, set decoration is no big deal. Like, I think that it's actually pretty easy to justify, like, a change in the design of an environment because people redecorate, styles change, trends take over. Like the iPhone dominated the interface, within a year.
But I mean, you could say that, like, even technologically, there's a lot more, like, gadgets and, you know, video screens and stuff here than there were in the original series. But whatever. I mean, this to me, it's like, and in addition to it being, like, a perfect update, like, I think it looks really cool, you know? I also like this little like toggling thing that's going on here with her vision. I think that that's a pretty interesting effect. So yeah.
I find it weird that she's like seeing things from the other bridge, and it's like, why are we doing this?
I mean,
I don't like this visions of the future nonsense.
So I'm assuming that, based on the rules that they've established, like this, I mean.
Whoa, they've established rules?
it would seem like this is supposed to be.
I would love it if they would write those down.
This is supposed to be like a, not a possible future, but a definitive future. But maybe not because she didn't take the crystal somewhere. I mean, obviously, it's not because all these people die.
She didn't take the crystal across the Great Seal, so
okay.
Like she can still turn back.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I mean, like we know that this isn't the case because we know that Philippa Georgiou is going to be on Section 31. Spoilers.
Yeah, that's the main reason we know that this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
That's the primary thing.
Yeah. Anyway.
Maybe she's a T-1000 at that point. Who knows?
Could be.
Maybe instead of stopping Leland, they just, like, join Control, and from within Control, they're like, hey, Control, maybe you should be cool. And Control is finally like, you're right, I've made some mistakes. I need to make amends. I'm going to send out an apology tweet, and hopefully the people will accept it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find a lot of the visions of the future plots silly.
Sure. Yeah.
And you know what's fun? I think this is the first episode where Spock does not enter a scene through a doorway.
I was paying attention this time. And yeah, I think you're right.
And I was, and I'm like, I didn't realize it until like after the episode was over. I was like, oh man, they didn't do that.
Well, you know,
now that I'm thinking that you might be right, and they shot this two-parter.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
It's going to happen in the next episode,
right? Yeah, because I mean, like one of the things that I've seen a lot of people complain about is like this isn't really an episode. Like things. There's nothing really happens here, which I mean, like, I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, I think that there's a lot more happening here than there was in like the episode 14 of season one. Like, that was really an episode where people were just sitting around talking to each other about what's going to happen next. But I don't really see that happening here so much. But, you know, I mean, I think it's one of those things like the finale of Battlestar Galactica where, you know, they broke off that first hour and, you know, like Ron Moore is on
and
record.
Ron Moore complained about it a lot
at
the time and then years later and still today probably is complaining about it.
Yeah.
Mrs. Ron is like, hey, buddy, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't think he'd really complain about it too much anymore because they did re-edit it together into one 3-hour thing. So
whatever. Yeah, they just screwed it up that on the most critical point.
Yeah, but it's okay. So be interesting to see who's not in these credits next year because I kind of think that some people have moved on. Like James Duff, he's on the Picard show, and you know,
I'm gonna once again say that I love the name Picard show, and I really hope that that's what they end up calling it. But I've heard some alternate suggestions, and some of them are also pretty great.
Like what?
Well, I saw a tweet that there's another Star Trek podcast that has suggested. I don't want to get it wrong. Let's get Picarded in here.
I don't get it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I get it. Okay. All right.
It's a terrible joke.
Yeah.
But I really love how stupid that is.
Yep. So, anyway, moving on. They're going to make a new suit. And I mean, here's all a case right. Where like, oh, so it is Burnham, who is the Red Angel. But now like.
What? Crazy.
But, you know, they don't make a big deal out of it this time. You know, it's just kind of like, well, I guess there are two and then it would be you. But they almost presented like, well, there had to have been two. So. Yeah,
That's dumb. Her mom is like, I don't know anything about no signals. And then they're like, no, but they happened in the past. How do you not know about it? You know, like what I was doing for breakfast. Like, you know, like when I like met this guy and like we went on our first date and it was really awkward and we never talked about it again. Like, you know everything about my life, but you don't know about these like big, giant, mysterious signals that are the reason that Pike is on this ship. You don't know that. You don't know about that. So that means that she hasn't gone back in time to make those signals. They happened in their past. Why do people not understand time travel?
No, you're right. You're right. Definitely. You know, I mean, what can I say? Anyway, but here we are. And... yeah, she's another Red Angel.
No kidding, crazy. What are the odds?
Red Angel, the next generation.
And once again, I remember you were talking about like the Red Angel suit, advanced technology. They are blowing that out. Like, that's not a thing anymore. They're not even addressing that. They're just like, oh, we have the blueprints, we can make one. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, we can just build one. And apparently fast. Like, they don't even like need to bring in a bunch of people, and they're like, okay, so like, how do we build this part? Like, this is just a suit. Like, it's just a suit with a gizmo on it. Like, it doesn't even seem like it's hard to make one of these things.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, not super advanced technology, just a suit with a little bit of machinery and slap a magic crystal into it, and everything works.
So they've got like all the, as they say, like the shuttlecraft and the worker bees or whatever they're called, and then, you know, like landing pods and stuff. But there's a ton of those things. Like, does every crew member get their own individual little? And I like this poor Enterprise has to warp there the old fashioned way, and Disco can just, you know, jump in and, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, cool. Like, the Discovery crew has a whole bunch of stuff that they've got to do. The Enterprise crew is just like,
we'll meet
all
you
right,
there.
Guys. We'll all see right. You. We'll see what you are there. You doing for lunch?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do waffles. I know it's not breakfast.
I love how excited Tilly gets about Zahia. So, I mean, I guess this means, like, it's not, because there was some speculation, like, oh, like, I think it was Brandon who was like, maybe, you know, Runaway was happening at the same time as the last episode, and that's why Tilly isn't in it. And at the time, that sounded reasonable, but here it really seems like they've essentially become pen pals since Runaway, so it would have to have happened a while back. And I mean, I guess we gotta look at Tilly's hair more than anything as an indicator for when this happened. So it had to have been like, you know, two or three episodes into the season at the earliest, something like that. I don't know.
I don't care.
You know, I need to make sure when I'm doing my Discovery series rewatch that I get all these things in the proper order.
Oh, no, that's a bad idea. That's a really bad idea.
No,
that's not how you're supposed to watch these things.
I think it is.
You're supposed to watch them in the order they were released and aired. That's not how you do it.
I don't know if that's true.
No, it is.
No, I'm in the process of, you know, because, like, you know, Avengers Endgame is coming out, so everyone's doing their rewatches, and I'm like, I want to do something a little weird this time. So
yeah,
my
wife was like, we should watch all the movies again. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm not gonna.
But what I'm doing, I'm trying to. We'll see how successful I am. I'm already like six movies behind or something on my schedule. But, you know, I'm starting them from, I'm watching them in chronological order. So like first Avenger, wow. Captain Marvel, and that, you know, and just because it's something different. So I think like next time I watch Discovery, that's how we did from there to here. You know, we did Enterprise before the original series. People really got mad at us for doing that, but whatever.
They got mad at you for doing Enterprise? I agree.
All right.
What? I don't know.
So I really thought that they were going to get Stamets and Culber back together in this scene when they first see each other, but...
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of moments where like they're about to like say, "Hey, you want to like get lunch or something?" And the other one's like, "Before you reject me, I'm gonna preemptively say something that distances us." And it's a bummer.
Yeah, but boy, you know, when they talked about like their love is greater than the cosmos or whatever it was, you know, and this is like an epic love story and everything. I really didn't think that in season two they were going to spend the entire season like broken up. That's not what I was expecting. Anyway, so here's Poe. She's cool. She likes ice cream.
She likes ice cream in a cartoonish way. She is, I mean, like, I thought, like, Troy and the chocolate was silly, and Poe is on a whole other level.
It works for me.
Like, she gets there, and she's got the ice cream, and she's like, oh, man, I've been working on ice cream, and I couldn't nail it. Like, how did you do this? And it's like, guys, ice cream is not that complicated.
Well, it is when you don't have, like, cows, right? I mean,
she can do anything with matter. She's like turning crystals like into gas and then turning them back into crystals. Like, she's a genius, and she can't nail down ice cream.
I don't know. I could see it being problematic, but maybe, you know,
I make a bomb soy milk ice cream, and it is delicious. I use green tea. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but if you don't have soy milk, then that can be...
Go with almond. Coconut, cashew.
I'm just saying that...
I'm saying that it's not that hard, and I can't recrystallize dilithium.
I'm just saying that maybe you could if you had some dilithium. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right.
All right. So Tig Notaro is back. That's cool.
Yep.
She's good in this.
She's always fun.
And so is Philippa Giorgio. You know, the more they've done with her this season, you know, the more comedic it's been, the more I hope that Section 31 is a comedy show. Because why not? Right?
Well, if you play Section 31 like straight, like if you play it straight, it's really just a spy show. Like, yeah. it's actually kind of a by the numbers boring spy show. Like, you end up with, you know, something like worse than Alias, because it doesn't have that nonsensical mystery that like you hope goes somewhere but doesn't. Like, it's not even going to have that. It's
well,
going to just
be like...
You
don't know what it's going to have, you know?
No, because it's Star Trek. It's everything. Every episode's got something crazy in it. So, like, there's no way to, like, say, like, oh, this mysterious thing. It's like, hey, everything's mysterious. They're in space. Like, everything that's going on is full of mysteries and unanswered questions. Like, the reason I don't care what happened between, like, Burnham and Spock when they were kids is because there's more interesting things happening in every episode. So you can't really get away with that kind of, like, mystery box logic in a Star Trek show. So it has to be played for something other than like just on the level Section 31 antics. It has to be Section 31 hijinks.
Well, I would be okay with that. I don't know what they're planning, but you got to figure it's going to be something weird and cool, especially if that's going to be the Star Trek show on, you know, I mean, if it is replacing Discovery, which it seems to make sense that it is.
I don't know. To me, it seems like there are different, like we've heard, like, the goal of having Star Trek year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that implies that, like, they're not looking to end anything.
No, because they did say, they were like, oh, wow, you're going to have, like, 20 shows on the air? And they were like, well, I think you should consider some of these to be not additions, but replacements.
Yes, I don't think that they're going to have 20 shows on the air. I think that they would probably have 5.
I don't know. I mean, 5 is a lot. 5 is a lot. I would say
5 is a lot.
3.
But it seems like that's what they're going for, because they want to have Star Trek year round. And if they're not doing, you know, 26 episode seasons, like, they're gonna have to spread it out somehow.
It'll be 4. It'll be Lower Decks, Discovery leading into Section 31. It'll be Picard show, and Picard. Then it'll be the cartoon on Nickelodeon, the kids show. And then,
are we counting the Nickelodeon series as being part of this equation? I thought the CBS All Access goal was Star Trek year round.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. But, I mean, then what? You've got Starfleet Academy.
Oh, my God. Is that still happening? Oh,
well, man. Nobody really knows, but I think so.
I hope not.
I really do hope so.
Oh, man.
So, I don't know.
The worst thing is it could take place in California because it'll be in San Francisco. So they could use that same song from the OC.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now I'm even more excited about this show.
In order for it to stop.
How could it? You just made it even better than I thought. I didn't know that was possible. I'm so excited. So here we have them creating a device which will charge up this time crystal, right?
This is the dumbest thing that this show has done so far. Okay? I hate this. They're like, okay, we're going to do a technobabble thing, and the technobabble thing has a really bad downside, and that really bad downside is that you're going to be stuck in the distant future forever. Yeah. That's a bummer of a downside. Although, here's the thing. We have like 900 years to come up with a way for you to get back. We have 900 years.
I guess that's true.
To come up with a plan to get you back.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Oh no, Michael, you're going to be trapped in the future. 900 years in the future. Maybe we should tell anyone that they have 900 years to come up with a way to get you back. Everyone on this show in this part of this episode is behaving like Marty McFly. They are so dumb about this. It is beyond infuriating.
I guess I wasn't mad about it, but I didn't really think about it.
I am laughing about it because I know that this is a relatively common state for me, but this really upsets me.
Okay, well, that's fair, you know, but then again, you know, I mean, Back to the Future never bothered me until you started pointing
out. Ruined it!
You didn't ruin it. It's still one of the best movies ever made.
Oh, man.
Okay,
I got work to do.
It's like one of the best movies ever made, but it's got some, you know, crappy time travel. But but everything else about it is so good that it doesn't matter, right?
No, I need to destroy it.
I mean, like this, like that thing. I mean, when you say it, yes, it makes total sense. And sometimes I think about that stuff, and sometimes I don't. And I think like when the show is like really working from like a character level or whatever, or a dramatic level, then, you know, you do gloss over some things. I mean, just today, I was at a panel at Star Wars Celebration where they were talking about the visual effects for Solo. And
whatever. It doesn't matter.
And they showed a thing from War of the Worlds where it was a shot of like Tom Cruise running and things getting destroyed in the background. I know, it was weird. It was, you know, the shot I'm talking about, the one where
Cruise runs and things blow up behind him.
Yes. That one. And
which one is that?
And there's a thing where like a lamppost or something like that comes crashing into a car. And Dennis Muren was the visual effects supervisor on this shot. And if you watch the shot closely, when they destroyed this car for real, a part of the rig broke off and basically landed on top of the car. And it was clearly visible. But in the shot, they didn't remove that piece of debris. They kept it on there because nobody would ever be paying attention. No one would ever see it. And it works. And the whole point that they were making is like, you need to look at the big picture. And sometimes you need to move on to other things, and things like this don't matter.
I got it. What you're saying is, what you're saying is that when it doesn't work, it's my fault.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that for normal people.
Okay, right. There you go. There you go.
Like you're, me.
You're, I don't know what the politically incorrect term for a stickler for logic is.
Vulcan?
But you just called me that.
Yeah. I always say that you're very Vulcan-like, right? Say that all the frickin' time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean it as sort of a backhanded
Most
compliment.
Of the time, it's not hurtful.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, because you're a Vulcan, right? So, emotion, you don't do that.
No, I have plenty of emotion.
But you suppress them. You suppress them.
No, I don't.
You control
them. I just described how I'm enraged by an aspect of this episode. A Vulcan would just be like, I'm going to stop watching it.
Okay. All right. So here we are. Got Burnham's mom explaining how jumping through time is a really bad idea. While Burnham is suiting up.
It's a terrible idea.
Yep. Burnham's suiting up for it. And
it's really only a bad idea because no one seems to understand how any of this works.
All right.
Polyphobic metamaterial. It's a nice technobabble that basically says, oh, yeah, it's a very safe suit. It protects you from a lot of things that should kill you.
Yep. Here, Tilly and Burnham are saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm. But Tilly's the one that enters the scene through a doorway.
Yeah. Well, a Pike does in another scene, too. So.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Oh, I find it weird. This part of the episode is strange because people get called to the bridge, and then Michael kills a lot of time before she gets to the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems rude, you know. Like, guys, do a walk and talk, you know.
Sometimes it happens, but you know, I think she was stopped, and I think you know maybe they'll cut her some slack. She's like, I'm going to be gone in the future forever.
Yeah. And apparently all of these people are going with her,
yeah,
including Spock. So this doesn't work out.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, who knows? Maybe they're going to start another timeline. I mean, haven't you seen any of the YouTube videos explaining that, you know, with this episode of Discovery, and I'm talking about any episode of Discovery, it proves beyond a shadow of doubt that it's not the prime timeline.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of those YouTube videos, and I don't care. my primary thinking is like, here's the thing. At this point, Spock could go with her, and maybe in the last minute, they'll be like, hey, we realized after you left that we had 900 years. To think of a way to bring you back.
Yeah, so maybe
there's a way for you to get back.
Maybe that's what'll happen, right? Because we know that, I mean, and how bold would it be if next week it ends with them abandoning the ship and beaming down to a planet, and then they're just like, see you next year, right? And then the funny face episode does take place. Like, in between, you know what I mean? Wouldn't that be cool?
Look, I am open to the possibility that this show jumps 1,000 years into the future.
Oh, wait.
I'm totally fine with that.
What if it does that?
I have no problem with that. I accept that's a possibility.
Do you think it could do that?
I absolutely think it could do that.
Do you think they would really do that? I'm sorry. Yes. You just got me really excited about the possibility of that happening. Could that happen?
Yes. What is happening?
You just opened up all these new possibilities, and now I'm just like, my mind is racing.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, well, I see some problems. Like Spock will need to get back, and Georgiou will need to get back, and
right. Obviously, they're going to get split up, and there's going to be a team that goes with Burnham, and they're going to leave a ship there for her, and there's going to be a means for them to go back. But the Discovery is going to have to be marooned for a section of time because there has to be like this mechanism. So like they have to have this thing repaired. So like they go into like a temporal anomaly that like frees them for like 1,000 years, and she comes back out. So like logically, like because we know that Burnham's mom is 950 or so years in the future, it would make sense for Burnham's jump to be further in the future to actually make it a little bit more complicated and to justify like it being a different suit and a different crystal. So their anchor point's going to be a little bit different. So maybe it's just a little bit further in the future. So they have to wait 1,000 years. They basically have to kill a millennium.
You know what this is like? Sequest. Remember when Sequest did this thing?
Where they
jumped ahead, they were like, oh, you know, Sequest takes place like 30 years in the future. And then it was like Sequest DSV. And then
like jumped like 75 years.
No, not that far. They only jumped like another extra few years. The show became Sequest 2032.
Okay. I vaguely remember. I watched every episode of Sequest and I remember a dolphin. So it's real tough for me to say what happened on that show.
It was an interesting show. You know who directed it?
It was something. Sure was something.
You know who directed
it? It was the Earth 2 of its day.
Oh man, Earth 2 is so great. But
oh my god.
You know who directed
it was the Harsh Realm of its day.
Okay. I like Harsh Realm, but you know who directed the pilot?
Oh my god.
For Sequest TSV. You know this? No?
No.
Irvin Kershner.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. Anyway. Star Trek Discovery. Oh, look. It's the Enterprise.
Look at how screen specific we are. We're nailing it. We are crushing this form.
It's been a long day, guys.
Guys, it has not been that long of a day for me. I am just literally always exhausted because I can't just enjoy things like regular people.
Yeah, you can't even enjoy the Star Wars trailer, you know?
It's not that I can't enjoy it. It's that I know I'm not going to.
So this is the second time this episode and third time. Well, I don't know. Okay, so this is, seems to be like a thing. Like,
let's enumerate the number of times that this thing that you're about to say has occurred.
So like there is the thing that happens where Saru is about to die, and like everyone on the bridge like stands up.
Yeah.
But then there was a thing earlier in this episode where they're like, Burnham is going to go to the future forever. Everyone stand up and look at her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they do it again now for Pike. And it's like, I mean, that's a cool moment. But is like that a thing that, like, is that a thing that they do in like the military or whatever? I mean, I just don't know.
Well, in my military experience... no.
Okay.
Because I don't have any.
I'd like to find that out because it's, I mean, there have certainly been, you see moments like that all the time, but they very specifically do like the same thing, like now three times this season. And it's almost like, well, this is the thing that you do, you know? It's an interesting thing. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, when somebody, you know, is making a departure, you know, you try to, you know, show your respect and that you'll miss them. It's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody, you know, like leaves a job, you know, people do a little
thing to
say goodbye.
Bye. Good luck. You know.
And, you know, you have a cake.
Yeah.
And like you sign a card. It's basically the exact same thing that you do when, like, they have a baby or they die. It's a...
Or a birthday.
All the same.
Birthday, too.
They're all the same thing.
Yeah.
What?
Birthday, too. Birthdays.
No, you don't do a big thing for everyone's birthday. That's crazy.
Yeah, they do at my office.
Really?
Yeah, whenever it's someone's birthday, you know, there's treats in the break room and stuff.
Sounds exhausting. That's too many birthdays.
No, it works out well.
Oh, my God.
You know?
I guess in a small office, it wouldn't be a big deal.
So, here's the three of these nerds trying to figure out how time crystals work. And...
Nobody knows.
I do like, you know, Tilly getting a little flustered here where, you know, they're like, this doesn't work. And she's like, I know, that's why you're here, you know. But or maybe that was another scene. I don't know.
I think that was the previous scene.
Okay, yeah. Because this is the one where, you know, Tilly's like, this isn't working fast enough. And
yeah,
Tig Notaro's like, I got you, Red. Which is cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. I should start calling you Red.
Don't do that.
Why not? See, I should have just established that early on, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Like when we were working together and you'd be like, can you help me move a print? I'd be like, I got you, Red.
Yeah.
So these are a lot of ships, a lot of little ships flying around, a lot of stuff for Eagle Moss to make.
Yeah, there's a beat here where Giorgio is like, by the way, I'm Terran from the Mirror Universe.
Yes.
And Pike is like, what Mirror Universe? And then he winks.
Yep.
And here's my reaction.
What? Yeah, I know, right? Because it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. You know, and I but the way that it's played.
It doesn't make sense, but it also does not matter.
No. But see, I think that's kind of what I like because, like, you know, Giorgio isn't like, by the way, I'm from the Mirror Universe. It's like he's leaving and she's like, I'm going to mess with him by saying something which will blow his mind. And then he's like, what? Wink. Like, I knew this. And then she's like, oh, he knew it. Oh, I thought I had him. Oh, well, it's just a weird thing, you know, and maybe it'll tie into something. I don't know, but I love it because it's weird.
All right.
Anyway, should we wrap this up?
Absolutely.
Be sure to check out our Discovery coverage throughout the week. There's Live from the Edge with Bruce and Brandy, which will be coming out on time, apparently, because Bruce, you know, he's just killing it. And then there's Postcards from the Edge with Amy, who everyone's going on vacation this week. Everyone's doing things like early and everything to make sure that all these episodes get out. And then, you know, there's the main show with Patrick. And then there's Notes from the Edge with Chris. And then there's Tracks from the Edge with us. You'll find all of them in the main feed for The Edge and in the Trek FM master feed. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Discovery, and the best place to do that is in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, where Amy Nelson will collect your feedback for Postcards from the Edge. You can also find us on Twitter at Trek FM or send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose The Edge. All right. We'd also like to thank our associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Lisa Slack, Shoab Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Malet, and Brian Maloche. Thank you very much, everybody. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an associate producer, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. Hey, you know, something that we don't usually say, but we should probably say is, like, we do have our own podcast on our own podcast network. It's called Film Damage. It's on filmdamagepod.com. We do audio commentaries for things like Star Wars, The Last Jedi. We talk about film projection and just other random things. And we haven't been doing it much lately because we've been doing this show and there's only so many hours in the week and everything like that. But head on over to filmdamagepod.com and check it out if you if you want to hear us talk about some things.
Yeah, some talk about like spoilers for Solo and how I'm not going to watch Solo.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't have an Edge pun this week. Do you have an Edge pun?
I can come up with one. Hold on a second. All right. What We Left Behind is coming to theaters.
Yeah.
Which is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. So you should get your tickets now. They pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the Edge.